Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. And in our text here, the disciples had been having a little argument over what their position would be in the kingdom of God, and who would be first and who would be last. A totally natural thing for people to do if we live according to our flesh. We're worried about, well, who's going to be first? Who's going to be last? Who's going to have power and all of that? But Jesus had a different plan. We read today, Matthew chapter 20, verse 25, but Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know what the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, he says. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus said, he said, my kingdom's not going to be like everything that you see in this world. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to be a minister. You have to be a servant to others. Even as he came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. What is a ransom? A ransom is a price that's given to buy back what was lost. The ransom, it takes the place of what is missing. And what's missing then is returned. The Bible talks about how when the time was come, Jesus, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was determined. He was intent on his purpose. And what was that purpose? It was to be a ransom for us, to step into our place. And so from this fact that he became a ransom for us, I preach to you today, trading places. Trading places. Would you ask God just to minister in a special way to our hearts today? Thank you, Lord, for your word and your presence. Thank you, Lord, for this atmosphere of worship that we feel in this house, for your glory and anointing. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to every life. God, that you would touch every heart. I pray that you'd help our spirit to be open to what you want to do to us, Lord, how you want to move through us. I pray that you would capture our hearts and our minds today. Help us to focus for the next few minutes on your word and on your spirit, that you could do a mighty work in us. And we give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. From the very beginning, God teaches us many insights into spiritual things by using types and examples. Spiritual truths explained by things that we can easily understand in the natural. And throughout the Old Testament, we see many of these types or shadows, examples of things that were to come. For instance, in the tabernacle plan, we see how everything points to Jesus Christ and to the plan of salvation in the New Testament. But the tabernacle, it was a foreshadowing. It was a foreshadowing of events that it was thousands of years before God robed himself in flesh and became the sacrifice for our sin. But there in the tabernacle, we see the altar, and you see the laver of water, and then you see the holy place, and finally the Holy of Holies. And it was all signifying the plan of salvation, because we first have to come to an altar of repentance, to where we repent of our sins. And then we all have to be washed. We have to be cleansed. We've got to be baptized. Amen. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. And then we all must be filled with his spirit, signified by the Holy of Holies there in the tabernacle. And everything back then, it points to everything in the plan of salvation now in this New Testament church that we are an extension of today. Another very significant type and example that we find in the Old Testament is the Passover. The Passover. It not only is it a very important historical event all by itself, but it's a foreshadowing of the greater Passover that was accomplished at Calvary. Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, in the New Testament, He lived out the type or the shadow or the example of what was given in the Old Testament event in the practice of the Passover. Just before he died on the cross for our sins, Jesus shared a last supper with his disciples. And there in an upper room, he set into motion a memorial for the church that today we commemorate. And we have a time of reflection, and we take communion together, and we reflect on the great price that he paid for our salvation. And at the end of the service, we're going to do just that today and share together in communion or in the Lord's Supper, remembering his sacrifice for us. And furthermore, we're going to remember that he traded places with us. So let's go back for a little history today as we look back to have a better understanding of things how they are today. We find the setting, it was quite dismal and depressing, a dreadful place of death and the drudgery of slavery. God's chosen people, the children of Israel, they had been in Egypt for over 400 years. And now they find themselves confined as slaves. They cried unto God for deliverance. They were surrounded by the noise of the whips of their evil taskmasters. They had all but forgotten everything to do with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the promises that God had made to them. And Joseph was now long gone. Soon after Joseph's death, there was a new ruling dynasty that was established, and they didn't know Joseph, and they didn't know Joseph's God. But they looked at these people, these children of Israel, they looked at them as a threat. And now instead of making an allegiance with them, Pharaoh, he decides, I'm going to make them slaves, and I'm going to oppress them, and I'm going to kill them. But God answers their cries by sending Moses as a deliverer. And Pharaoh was giving chance after chance to let the people of God go until finally God declared that every firstborn in the whole land, every firstborn in all of Egypt would be killed. In order to escape this judgment, the children of Israel were to take a spotless lamb. And that spotless lamb, the blood of it was to be applied to the doorpost of the house. And when the death angel would sweep through the land of Egypt that night, it would pass over any house that was marked with the blood of that sacrificial lamb. Imagine with me the scene of that morning as the rising sun penetrates through the smoky haze of the burning of those sacrifices the night before. And into the early calm of that day, piercing screams break through the silence as in every house that is not covered with the sacrificial blood, every firstborn is found dead. And God called his people to leave Egypt behind, and so they went out of the land of Egypt toward the promised land that God had prepared for them. And God commanded that they remember this Passover. Every year going forward, it was a memorial to God's deliverance of the people of Israel. Moses told them in Exodus chapter 12, verse 24, "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye become to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head in worship." It was a type. It was a foreshadowing. It was a symbol of what was to come, the Passover. Every year they repeated this, keeping fresh in their mind how God had delivered them. And it was setting the stage for the Lamb of God that was to come. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful today that God thought enough of you and he thought enough of me? And all of those in the world today that thousands of years ago, he set the stage for what was to come. He laid out a plan that would be fulfilled. He made a way. He made an escape from sin. He made a way for deliverance from destruction. And he set all this plan into motion all the way back at the Passover in Egypt. some 1,500 years after the Israelites first gathered in their homes behind the blood-spattered doorposts. Many, many years later, after that first Passover, when all of Israel met to commemorate what happened in Egypt, there in Israel, Jesus, he met with his 12 chosen disciples behind closed doors to celebrate this tradition and to take the Passover feast together. But something was different this time. It was going to be very, very different, because what had been started on the first Passover so many years before, now it was to become what's called the Last Supper. And it would establish a new covenant, a new religious tradition. You see, Jesus fulfilled the Passover. He fulfilled that pattern that was given in the Old Testament, that type or that symbol of what was to come. It was completed in Jesus Christ. And as he ate the Passover there with his disciples, Jesus, he tied together the ceremony that Moses had made and tied it all the way to the future in the practice of the church that we celebrate today. In Moses' time, they looked forward to deliverance. They looked forward to deliverance. And now in the days of the church, we look back. We look back to the spotless lamb which became sin for us. In the Passover, they ate lamb and bitter herbs. And now in the new covenant, we share bread and the fruit of the vine. As Jesus fulfilled the Passover, there was a change from the sacrifices. They would take a generic lamb and offer it as a sacrifice each year before. But now we remember the one true Lamb of God who took away the sin of the whole world. Hallelujah. Read with me today in Matthew chapter 26, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed. It's shed for many for the remission of sins." And so we remember his body that was broken for us, his body that bore our sin and was killed on the cross. He became that sacrificial lamb. And everyone today who becomes a Christian must have his blood applied to their lives, his blood that was shed for us to redeem us for sin. It was a new covenant. We read all about this in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." You see, back in that time, a covenant became valid only through the shedding of blood. It was a blood covenant, the old covenant. It was sealed with the blood of animals. But this new covenant is sealed with the blood of the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission or there would be no forgiveness. And so it took the blood of Jesus Christ, that perfect Lamb of God, to pay the price for sin. That's what he came to this earth to do. That's why he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He was determined. He was determined to do what he had come here for. He started telling his disciples about it. He started talking about how he's got to go to Jerusalem and he would suffer there and he would die and he would be killed. And Peter stood up and rebuked the Lord. He said, "No, this shall not be." That's when Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Hey, you get behind me, Satan." Because that's what his purpose was. That's what he had come for. Peter didn't understand it all yet, but Jesus knew what he had come to do. And it was because of you, and it was because of me. It was because of all of those in the world who had no way of escape from sin. He came to die for our sins, to deliver us and to save us. So he said, I'm establishing a new covenant. And he fulfilled the Passover. And he fulfilled the law of the Old Testament. He fulfilled the need for a spotless sacrifice. And he established this covenant that we can be a part of today. Oh, covenants back in that day, they weren't meant to be broken. Covenants were not meant to be broken. It wasn't something that they just made casually. It was very serious. It was a life and death situation. And you didn't just back out of a covenant because you didn't want to, but it was something that was made to last. God forbid that we take this sacrifice of the Lord too casually. Oh, that we not consider the seriousness of this covenant that we have with him, where we just kind of live for God on our own terms and we just choose whatever level of commitment we're going to have. No, if we're going to be part of this covenant, we've got to be all in. We've got to be all in. Hallelujah. Amen. There may be some here today. There may be some listening on our live stream that you feel conviction in your heart right now because you know you really haven't treated your relationship with God as seriously as you should. You've been too casual about walking with the Lord and other things have taken priority in your life. Your attention really hasn't been on the Lord like it should be. But don't you be defeated today. Just make this a new day. Just determine, I'm going to make this a new day. Amen. And I'm going to move forward. I'm going to leave the past behind, and I'm going to move forward. I tell you, the Lord didn't come to condemn you. He came to save you. It's not his will that any should perish. It's not his will that you stay stuck in that place. But you need to get up today. You need to start over. You need to make a commitment to the Lord that from this day forward, I'm going to put him first. From this day forward, I'm going to live for him with my whole heart. Come on, let's go forward. Let's recommit to him. Let's see what God is going to do. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's such irony in all of the things leading up to the cross. So many ways that our Lord traded places. He took the disciples with him to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And if you read through that, he says, sit here while I go yonder. He finds a comfortable spot for them. Sit here while I go yonder. And here he was, God manifest in flesh, the creator of the universe. He was sinless. He had never sinned. He had all power in heaven and earth. And he picks out a comfortable spot for them to sit while he goes and prays. And while he prays, they sleep. They should have been the ones praying. They're the ones that needed to pray. And while he prays, they sleep. How ironic that the one who probably hadn't slept much lately, he goes to intercede while the disciples, they really need to be praying, but they slept in his place. The Bible tells us that being in great agony, he prayed, and it says his sweat was like, it was like great drops of blood. Why? Because it was of the cup that was presented to him to drink. It wasn't his cup, it was my cup. It was your cup, but he drank our cup. The wages of our sin were laid upon him, and he was brought out before the people. He was mocked. He was spit on. He was falsely accused, not deserving any of what he received. And here Barabbas was a feared criminal in that day, and Barabbas goes free because an innocent man traded places with him and took his place. And I want to tell you today that all of us today, we can go free because of the one who was completely innocent. He traded places with us and took our punishment. He took our place on the cross. He took our place on the cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hey, when we were helplessly lost, it was at just the right time that Jesus Christ died for us sinners. Most people wouldn't even die for a righteous person. But God showed his love for us. He proved his love. He demonstrated that he loved us so much that while we were still sinners, amen, we weren't worth dying for. We still were messed up. We still had problems. We still had issues. But he died for us and he traded places with us. We were the ones that deserved to be on the cross. We deserved to die for our sins. But Jesus Christ was perfect. He was without sin, but he cares so much for you and so much for me that he traded places with us. Amen. Somebody needs to hear this today. He loves you so much. He cares so much for you that he died for you while you weren't any good. Amen. You weren't worth dying for, but it was because he loved you so much. It wasn't because you were perfect and because you had everything all together. No, it was because you and I were a mess, but he loved us anyway. Hallelujah. Why would someone who's free trade places with someone who's in prison? Why would someone do that? To take on their sentence, to serve their punishment, to pay that price for them. Why would someone do that? It does not make sense, and no one else would. But Jesus said, I'm going to establish a new covenant. And I'm going to take your place so that you can be free. And I'm going to carry your load so that your burden can be light. And I'm going to feel your pain so that you can be delivered. Oh, this Jesus. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53:4 declares, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so openeth he not his mouth. He carried our grief. He carried our sorrow. He carried our pain. He carried our sickness. He was wounded for our sin and our rebellion. He was crushed because of our failures. He was beaten so that we could be made whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's what Jesus did for us. He traded places with you. He traded places with me. He paid the price for our sin. He bore the pain for us. He purchased our freedom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, can anybody just thank the Lord for that right now? Oh, God, you were sinless, but you took our place. You traded places with me. You paid the price for me. You bore my sin. You bore my pain and my sorrow. You traded places with me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just feel like I need to help someone here today, because the enemy of your soul, he's been making you carry a whole lot of baggage that you don't have to. Come on, pain and guilt and suffering and shame and grief and all of that. The enemy is trying to put all of that on you when Jesus already took that. He already put it on his back. He already picked up the load, amen, so that you and I could be free. Don't you let the enemy convince you to pick all of that stuff back up. It's not yours to carry. It's not the will of God that we carry that. It was his will that he would carry that, that he would bear our grief, that he would take our suffering and our pain. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't let the enemy convince you to pick all of that back up, to load you down so heavy that you can't make it. No, Jesus has already carried that burden. You lay it down at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I'm giving it to you. Thank you for paying the price for my sin. Thank you for delivering me, God. I can't carry this any longer, and so I lay it at the foot of the cross today. I tell you, Jesus Christ already paid the price for you. You don't have to pay it again today, but you just have to trust in him. You just have to come to him. You have to give your heart to him and say, Lord, I can't make it on my own, but thank you for paying the price for me. Hallelujah. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Our burden is not light, but he trades places with us. Come on, if you're weary today, if you've got a heavy load, you need to come to Jesus and he will give you rest. He's going to trade places with you and he's going to carry your burden. He says, take my yoke upon you. It's easy. My burden is light, but I'm going to carry your load. Amen. And I'm going to give you mine. Stop struggling under the weight of everything you're carrying and just give it to Jesus today. Just give it to Jesus. He's waiting right now to trade places with you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Why don't we do that today? Cast all that care that you're carrying, all of that worry, all of that stress, all of that anxiety and fear. Why don't you cast that upon the Lord? He says, cast all your care upon me, for I care for you. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He's already made the deal. He's already purchased it. We just have to take him up on it. Amen. And he's going to take that load of care, that load of worry, and give us peace that transcends all understanding. Isaiah 61:3 says, he'll give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But what are ashes? What are ashes? Ashes are what's left whenever things burn down. It's what's left when everything is destroyed. When we've made so much of a mess that there's nothing left, it's the dust that settles after defeat. But go ahead and give it to him and let him give you beauty in return. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody, let him trade places with you today. He's going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. He's going to anoint you with oil. He's going to give a new anointing, a fresh anointing, instead of that burden of mourning in your life. And he's going to give you the garments of praise instead of that spirit of heaviness you've been wearing. See, back in the day, they had beautiful clothes that were made. They were made only to wear on a special day. It was a special days of thanksgiving and worship unto God. And so they had beautiful outfits that were made just for those days. Somebody needs to hear this today. You've worn that spirit of heaviness long enough. You've worn that spirit of heaviness long enough. Come on, you can see it on people. It's a spirit of heaviness. It's like they got those weighted blankets. It's a weighted blanket that's just, it's so heavy. It's dragging them down so low and they're so burdened. But somebody needs to realize this today. Jesus has paid the price for you, and you need to receive that here today.
I just feel like somebody needs to stand up, and you need to shake off that spirit of heaviness right now. You need to shake off that depression. You need to shake off that burden. Come on, we've been going through some things this last year, and it's like a heavy burden. It's a spirit of heaviness, but the Lord doesn't want you carrying that any longer. Come on, He's working for your good. He's going to bring you through. You take authority over that fear, that depression, that worry. Come on, somebody shake off that spirit of heaviness and put on a garment of praise. Lord, I worship you in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of my situation. I give you glory. I give you praise. I give you honor, Lord. I magnify you right now in the midst of this. Amen, amen. Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding, but he gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Come on, somebody today, you came into this house barely making it. You were so burdened. You were so heavy. You were so laden with all of the stuff going on. But God says, don't you give up. Don't you give up, but wait upon the Lord. And you're going to renew your strength. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to take your burden. I'm going to take your weariness, and I'm going to give you strength. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, He wants to trade places with you today. He wants to carry that burden for you. He wants to take on your sickness. He wants to take on your pain. He wants to take on your sorrow and give you joy and healing and deliverance. Oh, could we stand in this house and just lift our hands to Him today? Thank you, Lord, for trading places. Thank you, Lord, for taking on our burden. Thank you, Lord, for taking on our sickness, our pain, our struggle. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for it today. Thank you, Lord, for the garment of praise. Thank you, Lord, for the oil of joy. Thank you, Lord, for beauty for ashes. Amen, 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 amen. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God through is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We deserve death, but thank God for the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In closing today, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus Christ, who had never sinned, was made sin for us. He traded places with you. He traded places with me, that we might become, that our sinless exist or our sinful existence might become the righteousness of God. What a trade. What a trade. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hakato shatamis. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Haramon diatasatama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Perhaps you've heard some of those stories of someone that they had something small, something of little value. Might have been a paperclip. And they traded it to somebody else, maybe for a pencil.
and then traded the pencil for a calculator. And then traded a calculator for a computer. Traded the computer, and this is kind of drastic, but, you know, goes on, and in the end they have a house. It took some of them years to do that, but they were trading up. I want to tell you today, we have the opportunity right now to trade up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we don't have much to offer. But Jesus says, give me what you've got. Give me that brokenness. Give me that mess. Give me that addiction. Give me that broken home. Give me all of that trouble you've been going through. Give me that sickness in your body. You give me whatever you have, and you let me take it, and I'm going to trade you something that's worth, oh, so much more. You can't even put a value on it. I'm going to give you blessing, and I'm going to give you healing, and I'm going to give you hope, and I'm going to give you salvation, and I'm going to give you a family. I'm going to give you the family of God. You've come here today without anything to offer, but Jesus says, trade with me, and I'm going to give you everything. Oh, is there anybody, you take him up on that deal right now? Would you just lift your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, count me in. Count me in, Lord God. I give you my heart. I give you my life. I give you everything I've got today. It's not much, Lord, but I pray that you would take it, and I pray that you would use it for your glory. And I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon me, that you would direct my life and direct my family and direct our home, Lord. Lord, help us to grow in you. Help us to grow in faith. Help us to grow in the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to be something we could have never been on our own. But Lord, you're going to give us strength today. Come on, I felt it today. I felt it in that time of worship, that God wants to do miracles in this house, that God wants to bring healing, that God wants to bring deliverance. Come on, why don't you give him that sickness in your body right now? Somebody, you need to give that to the Lord. You need to surrender that to the Lord. God, I give you my sickness right now. I give you the pain that's, somebody, you're in pain right now, this very instant, and you need to just offer that pain to the Lord. God, I don't have anything else to give, but you see this pain. You see this pain I've been going through. You see this trouble. I lay it on the altar, Lord. I lay it on the altar today, God, and I stand on your word. I stand on your promises, and I pray, God, that you would do a work in me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why don't you reach over and just pray with someone that you're next to there. Lord, encourage them today. Speak to their heart today, Lord. God, speak strength to their life. Oh, I speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. I speak hope right now in Jesus' name. I speak encouragement in the name of the Lord. I speak hope right now in the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord.
I speak hope and healing and blessing right now. I pray a prayer of faith right now over every person in this house. Lord, you see what they have to offer. You see the brokenness. You see the pain. You see the struggle. You see the sickness. You see the emotional weight they've been carrying around. God, we give that to you, and I pray according to your word, Lord, that you would return it for joy, that you'd return it for deliverance right now, for peace, for hope, Lord, for strength right now. I pray that you would speak peace to their mind. Speak peace to their mind. Speak peace to their heart right now in the name of Jesus. Ha-da-da-da.